All right, is everyone ready?
Are you all ready?
Oh, yeah. During presentations, he's just going to dim these so you can see the screen a little bit better.
Thank you. We're excited to be here tonight. Good evening. Thank you on behalf of Somerville Architects and Engineers for inviting us here to present our proposals, our qualifications, and the services that we can bring to the Krivitz School District and the community at large. You have, how do I put this, a big important task in front of you when you, you know, head this way and venture, start looking at facilities and start looking at what comes out of that. I'm Matt Schachner, President, Principal Architect.
Could we have a little bit of light over here?
Yeah, it's a little bit hard.
The only thing
when you
turn that on or off is
no.
Well, are we
going to
need to read in our books or no?
Nope, we'll just be presenting on the screen.
Okay,
everything's up there.
Then we don't need them.
Yeah, and if you haven't had a chance to look, I don't know what the proposal yet, but definitely there's a lot more detail than we're going to cover.
But this is going to cover this. Yep. Okay.
So I'm Matt Schachner, President, Principal Architect, Director of Design. On this project, I'll be a resource not only back at the offices, but for you as a client partner. Jason Hale is with me tonight, Senior Project Architect, specializes in education. He'll be the day-to-day contact, especially digging into assessing your facilities and then working with Melanie Parma, our Senior Vice President, and she's the studio leader for education with us. And then the rest of our team on the project is made up of engineers and our marketing staff to assist if, you know, you head into pre-referendum potentially. So a little bit about Somerville. We're based out of Green Bay, 77 years. We're 100% employees and have been for about 20 years. So I'm the president, but I'm just the steward of our group, you know, passing this along. It means a lot to our firm, but more importantly, that means a lot to our clients, having us all 100% employee owned. 12 years is our average tenure. And in the industry, architecture, engineer, that's a long time. People tend to move around a lot. So what that means for you is when you work with us, and you'll see like many of our clients long term relationships, you're working with the same people over and over that get familiar with you and your goals, etc. We do architecture in-house, but also HVAC, electrical, plumbing, interior design, and then referendum. A little bit about our education studio. It's our primary studio where we do the bulk of our work, 1,200 education projects we've done, over $1.5 billion in the last 20 years, accompanied by the 8 million square feet of space we either added, renovated, or built new. And we're definitely engaged in the education field in terms of being presenters at the Wisconsin Education Association's members of all those. Some of our K-12 clients, you'll recognize probably many of these names up here. In bold are the districts we're currently doing work for, DC Everest, Green Bay, O'Connor Falls Schools, a $35 million middle school there. But for us, you know, it's not just a building, it's a relationship. It's a relationship that you also have with your community, and so we're here to help with that. Some of the relationships we've had with clients over the years, whether it's 67 years with Green Bay Schools, Menominee Indian School District just broke ground on a new $50 million high school that we designed for them, so that's very exciting stuff. School District of the Pier, 65 years, and we're engaging with them right now in pre-referendum for potentially $150, $160 million. At any given time, when we look at the projects that we have in our office, 94% of those projects are repeat clients, and we feel that says a lot about, you know, the service that we bring and the commitment to our clients, that they keep coming back time after time.
So what I wanted to do tonight is just kind of walk through a case study with you. This is from a school district you might be familiar with right down the road, the Marinette School District. This is a project we selected tonight. We feel it has a lot of similar scope to what you're looking to accomplish here. So when we started working with Marinette, the first thing we did was held stakeholder meetings, community meetings, to really help to establish the vision and goals for the project. With Marinette, that was to be operationally efficient and educationally excellent in all of their facilities. But that's going to vary client by client. So with Krivitz, it's going to be something different. But we'd work with you in the community to establish what that is and how we use that to determine the design moving forward. We find that using this community-driven approach really helps to build trust in the process, build support for the project, and then helps with more successful referendums. So once that information is collected, then we move into more of the kind of the meat and potatoes of the process. We really want to start looking at the existing facilities you have, their conditions. We want to meet with you and discuss the educational adequacy. How are your facilities meeting your needs? And then focus in on that final recommendation and report with cost information to review with the board. Throughout this process, we are doing continual meetings with the district, just to make to share our findings, make sure that what we're doing meets your needs, is meeting the project goal and vision.
And what we find that communication, constant communication is key, not only between your architectural engineer and yourselves, but also with us and you and the community, just building that trust and that level of transparency.
Yes, building that relationship and mentoring. So for the facilities assessment, you know, with Marinette, we work in all their different facilities, from the very top of the roof down into the basement and the tunnels that support the facility and every space in between. Meeting with their facilities directors, their facilities staff, they will always know the best information of what's working and not working in a building and how we can make it better for them the next time around. So really getting that input is critical. At the same time, we're meeting with the district to go through the curriculum needs, future curriculum needs, and start to discuss how the buildings can support that currently and what additions, renovations need to be done to better support that in the future. So a lot of the things we're looking at this time would be safety and security, space needs, student capacity, just working through those with the district to, again, understand how that can be met. Once that information is gathered, then we're going to work through and create options, start collecting the report or writing the report, kind of showing the deficiencies. This is often shared with the community at some level in a preliminary fashion to get their input so that if we need to pivot and change directions, we can make that change before a final report is made and final recommendations are made to the district. For Marinette, we looked at kind of right-sizing the district. So they had 6 buildings total, and we looked at, with their kind of declining enrollment at the time, options to reduce to 5, 4, or 3 buildings. After going out and discussing with the community, 4 buildings were settled on, and then we worked with them through multiple options. You can see on the left side here, different site plan options, floor plan, blocking diagrams. And in this case, you know, really it was important to them to have renderings available to help spread their story during the pre-ref process, so work to develop those as well. So after a successful referendum, you know, we were there to celebrate with Marinette at the groundbreaking. And then just a few pictures of the final projects here. So these projects did win first place in the International Interior Design Association's K-12 category for all of Wisconsin. So very proud for them as well as for us for that accomplishment. This is an LMC from the school. This is part of the addition. In the classrooms, it was really determined that the size of the space was adequate for the needs. It was just a matter of really providing flexible furnishings, flexible equipment, new finishes, more controllable lighting to really better support their students. Last picture here, just one of the common spaces in the building. And really, you know, I think as we said earlier, it's really our intent to develop a long-term relationship with the school district improvements. We really feel that this is how we are able to best deliver a successful project. Getting to know you, your needs, and the community really helps with that. So for this first phase of work, we were proposing a fee of $7,500 to complete the study. But really looking forward, if a referendum were to occur, you know, offering referendum support services. So this is some documentation that we created in-house for one of our other clients in the past. And we'd be able to create that same kind of information for Privets as well. And then past that, once a referendum is successfully passed, looking at the continuing design services from the schematic design through bidding, construction, and even beyond that as a supporting member as you settle into the new buildings and any questions do come up.
So I really want to speak to like what sets Somerville apart. You're going to meet with 6-7 firms tonight, but this is really what we feel sets us apart. So it's our local and consistent team. We're based out of Green Bay. Took us less than an hour, you know, at the most to get up here. We provide you with a consistent team throughout. As I mentioned, our employees stick around with us a long time. So engineers, architects, interior designers, from the very first meeting through construction, even as a resource after construction. If there are issues, we're there, we're a phone call away, we'll drive up here. We're all in when it comes to that. Also our commitment to advance in education. We're involved in Partners in Education here in Northeast Wisconsin. We sponsor Golden Apple Awards. We host Youth Apprenticeship. They come into our office and work for the summer during the school. We're out there in schools showing students what architecture and engineering and interior design fields offer when it comes to future education and that those jobs are here in Northeast Wisconsin too. So being a partner and advocate is really important to us. Time and time again, our clients say Somerville really gets who we are, what we're after, what our mission is, what our vision is, and that they really help us get there. They're an integral part, they're an advocate, and they really care. And on top of that, we feel we bring an experience that's second to none throughout the process. Some of you may have never done this before, and we're here to help and to walk you through that whole process. Corey Lambie, Superintendent of Marinette School, said it felt like we were the only customer that Somerville had at the time, just the amount of attention that we give our clients. So we're really passionate about the work we do, and not just because we love buildings and they're neat, but we're passionate more because it's more than just a building. It's about the students, it's about the teachers, staff, and the impact that these projects make on the whole community that lasts for decades and decades. So we'd be really excited to start the work with you and start that relationship. Hopefully leads to a decades-long relationship, if that's what it brings. So thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, we'd love to answer.
Thank you.
So from a reimbursable standpoint, do you have an average that you would, I see that you don't do pilots per se, but there are travel reimbursables that are like scale, or?
Not really. I mean, the only travel we would have is if you, as a school district, said, let's go down to over to Minnesota to check out some schools we've really heard of. Maybe then it's a reimbursable for us. But to and from the site, you don't owe us an extra dime. And if you choose, and this is a whole other different service, but if we offer pre-referendum services where we're printing boards or certain things like color boards, then those are often.
Otherwise, most of that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I don't know if we got to our overall fees. As if a project were come out of this, then there are certain reimbursables that go along with
10%,
the project.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's a 10%. If we work with a civil engineer, that's a reimbursable, then we just have a 10% to coordinate with that.
Thank you.
Yeah, but on a typical, let's say a $5 million project, our reimbursables might be $7,500. If any kind of $5 million project, that includes state approvals, you know, site plan approvals, some miscellaneous printing. We don't print as much as we used to. We don't have big rolls of blueprints. So reimbursables is, yeah, our meals are on us, you know, to take care of all that.
Okay. Office space, things like that usually come out in the specifications anyhow, so that gets taken care of.
Yep. Yeah.
Through the project.
Yeah.
You mean like a job trailer during construction?
Or a year of staff.
Oh, well, we wouldn't have an on-site job trailer. We would just come up for...
So during construction, we're usually up here every 2 weeks, more if needed, and we just come up for a few hours, have the meeting in the contractor's trailer.
Walk the site.
Field observation, walk the site, take notes, take photos, make sure everything's being followed in the plans and spec. Sure no one's cutting any corners and you're getting the value that you
need. So that based on your developed specifications for the project, then that would be listed as how the project would be run.
Oh, yeah. We have like a spec book that's 300 pages, and then we have supplementary conditions, which are part of a contract.
Yeah, they're a good read.
Yes.
Lots of pictures.
And in fact, I'll just touch upon this. That's not what these services are for, but we average, I don't know if everybody's familiar with change orders, but these are things that happen in construction. An existing building, oops, what's that? But any sort of issue in the documents or any, our average is under 2% on construction, and national average is 5 to 12%. So we're not really here to present that, but that's another thing we really pride ourselves in. Contractors love getting their hands on our documents because we make their life easy, unless they really love change orders. Don't like them so much, but you know, it just makes the whole process smoother for you. It doesn't delay the project, so we're really picky about quality. We have a lot of checklists and quality control in our office. That's one of the other things we're really known for. Just we're more presenting on early stuff now, but hopefully we'll get there. We'll have another conversation when that time comes.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, guys.
Well, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
It was nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. Yes. Thank you. I knew my papers.
Would you?
Could you
grab me a water?
Can you tell me, Jenny, can you bring me a thing? I left mine in there.
Sure.
Thank you.
Bray is next.
Safe travels home.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like,
Everybody have a good evening.
Thank you.
As well. Thank you for your time.
Safe trip home.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Oh, thank you.
was that?
He opened the curtains.
Oh.
The can lights?
Well,
no.
Not since.
Yeah, no.
No, not at the moment. I tried them.
Earlier, when he was setting this up, he tried for that.
Usually we do it afterwards.
Let her open here.
Oh.
Just a minute to set up, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
We won't even dock you on your 5 to 10.
No.
Kelly has asked for additional copies of the proposal here. And there's 12 copies of what we're
Thank you.
That's okay. I'll leave a couple up here. Presenters and Amy. All right, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you for considering Bray as one of your options for your facility assessment services. We're really proud to be here. Very briefly, my name is Matt Wolfert. I am one of the two owners at Bray. I've been with the company for 28 years, which is really hard to believe. They're literally in high school. So in a program like yours, school to work, all the business you're interested in, and I've never left. I bought the company from the family. So it's a kind of an interesting testament to the great work you do helping students find pathways and careers that they're interested in. Another team member, Clint Selle, and I would be leading your team. Clint is facilitating some community engagement sessions for another client this evening, so he couldn't be here, but we'd love to bring him back and have him meet the rest of your group. There's additional key team members, and we've included their resumes in our submittal, but just for the sake of trying to keep you on time, I didn't include any more on them. We have architects, interior designers, communication experts on our team in-house. Then we consult out for engineering services. These are all longtime partners that we have worked with, most of them 20 years or more. The reason we like consultant engineers versus in-house is we get to really bring in the specialist for you that focus on K-12 work. You're not going to get an engineer that was working on a hospital last week in a commercial building the week before that. You're going to get true individuals who've got to do nothing but K-12 educational work. And we think that's really important for you. It brings you that specialization to know that you're getting people that are involved in your market every day and are understanding the trends and historical challenges that different decisions have had for other clients. And they bring that to you so you don't make a similar mistake or make a decision that could have some challenges in the future. We're a firm that was founded in the early 60s in Sheboygan. So the building on the screen is the first project we ever did as an organization in 1962 in Valdors. So at the time, apparently a superintendent of schools could hire his son to be his architect. I don't think he could get away with that anymore. But that literally 60 plus years ago is how we began in K-12 work. And to this day, Valdors continues to be a longtime client. We're actually there and just passed another referendum with them back in April and are continuing that partnership. But really what you'll see is the vast majority of our work is K-12. 85%+ of our market is K-12 educational work. The majority of that is in Wisconsin. We do a little bit of work in Iowa and Illinois and other places, but the vast majority of our work is focused right here in Wisconsin, doing exactly this type of work. focusing on community engagement. We've done over $1.5 billion in K-12 education in the last 5 years alone. That's a big number. Don't worry, there's a couple of really big projects in there that make that number big. The majority of our projects are a typical size project. Almost everyone starts just like this, a conversation with a school board and a community, and a deep facility assessment to understand what our needs are. We're proud of our work with districts of a similar size. We currently or recently have 20-plus school districts similar in scale. I smiled a little bit when the note was made about 50-plus graduates. You know, I'm graduating with a class of 62 in Lewisburg, Wisconsin. So I appreciate the scale of the community and the scale of the school that we're talking about. Just a few examples, and there's a lot more in your full proposal document. In the upper left, we're really proud of the work in Florence after years of them struggling to even remain solvent. Helped them start just like this with a facility assessment to pass their last referendum. On the right side is across the bay over in Sebastopol. Again, same thing. They had some challenges, but we got them to a successful referendum. I've been really proud of the work we did in Coleman on their last major referendum and also just last summer helping continuing that partnership with Coleman on small projects. So that's just a very small sampling of local school districts that we've had the good fortune of working with. So what does a facility assessment look like? What's the process we go through? There's seven steps up on the screen. I'm not going to go through all seven. Again, trying to keep fair to the time that was allocated. But the first thing is we have to kick off the process. Let's talk schedule. Let's talk who's going to be engaged. How are we going to organize the process? How often is the board involved? Is every board member? Do you appoint a board member or two? Let's make sure we get that right. Because we can't get to the end and go back and say, maybe we should have organized that differently. It doesn't work, right? We need to make sure we start with a great understanding. How are we going to engage the community? It may not seem like that's a priority when we're just assessing facilities, but in our experience, we have to bring the community along on the journey of facility assessment because they're going to have questions and we want them to be informed. The biggest piece is this needs assessment concept. What does that look like? So up on the screen are three general lenses that we're going to use to evaluate the facilities. Interior. This is probably the stuff that we think the most about, plumbing, HVAC, electrical. Our engineers are going to come through and walk your buildings, get in your boiler rooms, really get a good understanding of the current state of your current systems. We're going to look at technology, right? It's an important piece in education more than ever. How is our technology holding up? Safety and security. Sadly, we have to have that conversation as we're doing the facility assessment. Americans with Disabilities Act, so ADA compliance. How are we with that? Even newer buildings aren't compliant anymore, and guess what? Next January, they're going to make it even worse because they're implementing a whole new version in the state of ADA. They're adopting the latest and greatest come January 2024. That's going to create more need there. Energy efficiency, right? The more we can do to save operating dollars, the more we can put back into the classroom. So we want to make sure we're looking at that. Flooring and general aesthetics. Do we want to strip and wax VCT? Are there other options that we should consider that might have a little bit more first cost, but don't require the ongoing annual maintenance associated with them? One simple example. Exterior, won't go through it all. Most important to know, we're going to evaluate roofs, windows, and doors. It's relatively straightforward to look at your masonry and other areas. If you know you have challenges there, we're going to document them. But if we don't have a solid building that prevents water from infiltrating, what's the point of worrying about the interiors? That's a primary focus, is to make sure we understand those. And then let's look at drop-off and pick-up. There's no perfect site. Maybe you're going to tell us yours is perfect, right? You have no issues with drop-off and pick-up in this
picture? Sure, sure. Yeah, we'll go with
all of it.
Like,
it's very important, right? It impacts kids, it impacts safety, it impacts parents, so it's an important thing to evaluate. Playgrounds and outdoor athletics.
Random neighbors.
And then finally, space. This is the one: quantity, capacity, curricular alignment. Curricular alignment is probably the hardest thing to talk to the community about. Many people will come to the meetings and say, well, I sat 30 kids in that classroom and you have less kids there now, and they turned out perfectly. So why would you ever have the need for any sort of additional influence in curriculum? So we want to make sure we understand what your goals are for curricular delivery, and then make sure the spaces support you accordingly. And then again, making sure we understand fine athletics, arts and drama, special education, and future needs. So what we want to make sure you see there is this is a really comprehensive assessment that doesn't just focus on one aspect of your building. It really looks across the whole spectrum of interior, exterior, and curriculum. Once we get through that very quickly, we're going to explore options and solutions to address the needs that were identified in the prior phase. That's conceptual site plans, floor plans, et cetera. We really recommend clients consider a community survey once they get through that process. We'd love to, we could talk for hours just about that process and how important it is. We refine the master plan coming out of the survey and then present to you the final report in summary. The other piece I'd say we found is that we used to sit and write these 300-page reports, and they were great if you were an engineer or a contractor, and if you were a community member who was an accountant or worked on a farm, they were done in a couple pages because it just didn't make sense. We've totally revamped how we deliver these. They're very graphic in nature, where it's floor plans, it's photos, it's call-outs. There's a little bit of writing, but we're not making these long novels. We're making them very visual, very easy to interact with, so that we hopefully get more people engaged in understanding our needs. If a referendum were ever to be proposed, not suggesting we're going there today, but we just want to make sure you understand our full suite of services. We've got a whole team that supports our clients with referendums. We're really proud of our 86% success rate, and you can see the number of questions. It's not like we're 86% success on three questions. We do this every day, and really we have a whole team that's going to help you focus on engaging the community. And hopefully, if a referendum is needed or is proposed, helping them find success. One other thing just to note, construction delivery models is an important consideration for you as a board. Complete transparency, you're interviewing three or four companies tonight that work under option one and option two, and you're interviewing three companies that work under option three. All the fees might look different. The contracts are going to look different. The advantages and disadvantages are going to be different. So I'm not here to talk negatively about any one of the models, but I do think this might be an important understanding for you as you proceed through the selection process to understand what you're getting and how that construction delivery would work. So again, this is a half an hour topic in and of itself, but I just want to make sure you understand, especially seeing all of our friends in the room this evening, many of us work in different models here. I think it's important that you just understand which model you're getting and what advantages and disadvantages may come with those.
And which model do you work in?
We work in number one or two, whatever your preference is. So we draw the plans, we send them out to bid. The lowest responsible bidder who is awarded the project builds it. We also work with construction managers all the time, where you would hire as a district a construction manager up front to work with us. Throughout the entire process, that construction manager would bid out all the work. The advantage we find to one and two is that you have two contracts. You hold one with us, we hire our engineers. You hold a second with your contractor or your construction manager, they won't hold all the subcontracts. But we're working together, but we're not contractually connected. So I have no reason not to call out the construction manager or the general contractor if the quality of the workmanship isn't what we believe it should be, if they aren't following plans and specs. So there's really no fox in a hen house issue there, because we're separate contracts. That'd be my only concern with option three, and where we've historically seen challenges, is you have one contract, which may sound appealing, but you now have everybody underneath that single contract with the inability to challenge each other because they're all working for the one entity. So that's really the difference, is contractual structure and the checks and balances that we believe you get to your advantage in option one or two with design, bid, build, or construction management. Thank you for asking. There's just a quick question on preliminary timeline, and I can tell you one thing right now about this is it's wrong. We haven't met with you, we haven't sat down, we don't know when you're gonna make your decision, but big picture, for a facility assessment, we would envision hopefully kicking off in mid-July. We would have the needs assessment portion of the process done by mid-September. So that's all of the work on those three slides identified earlier, single slide earlier. The interior and exterior work will be done in that amount of time. The one thing we can't really do well right now is staff engagement. And you may say, why staff engagement? We found if we don't engage staff, we're not going to get it right. They live in the buildings, they're in the buildings every day. They're also the best conduit to our parents. So if a parent finds out you're doing a facility assessment and asks their second grade teacher, well, have you heard anything? And they say, no, they never asked me. We almost immediately lose credibility that the process isn't inclusive and isn't including everybody. So during that September to October timeline, we would send a survey to all of your staff members, and then we would follow that up with listening sessions to make sure that we're truly understanding what they're seeing in the buildings every day. I can tell you right now they don't have enough storage and they don't have enough control over their heating and cooling. I can tell you those two things will be out.
And not enough bathrooms.
Okay. But it's really important. Even if we don't get some profound feedback from that, they're now part of the process. They're engaged, they feel included. That makes them more likely to trust the outcome of the process. We're then going to explore options and solutions in September and October. As I noted earlier, we think community engagement is really important. Even if the end result is an assessment that doesn't go beyond a better understanding of your facilities, having the community understand your needs now is important. So we would propose doing some community listening engagement sessions in October and November, refine those options if we need to in November, and then have a final report by the end of the year. I will say often we can move a little faster than school districts or school boards may want to. But I think this is a really decent schedule to kind of balance between giving you time to do all the work you need to, but also not duration, you know, for years on. So with that, thank you. Really, again, appreciate this opportunity.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Could I ask, you have a school perceptions in here? Is that, and again, it's over and above your initial proposal per se, but what exactly would that be?
So School Perceptions is a community surveying firm. So if you get to the point where you're thinking, we've now identified all our needs and we know which direction we may want to take in terms of implementing, and if we don't have enough money on hand, even with $325 more per pupil per year available, and then you wanted to go consider a referendum, that community survey is the best way to have a referendum without actually going to one. It would be a survey mailed to every home, 8 pages long, and the reason they're not included in our services is because they're an impartial data gathering company. They won't work with entities that have an investment. So we would financially benefit in our case if a project was approved. So they won't work directly.
It would be a recommendation of yours that we were looking towards that referendum process, that this be part of the process.
It would be a strong recommendation.
Yeah,
their data is 95% predictive of the outcome of the referendum.
Yes.
That means successes kind of and also failures. Mm-hmm. Referendums where the data said you shouldn't go because the community isn't supportive, and the board and we said, well, we can out-communicate that. Guess what? The data was right, and we didn't find success. So we think it's a great tool for you to really understand where your community's at before you even go to referendum.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Excellent question. Thank you again.
Right.
Really appreciate
awesome.
This. Hope to hear from you soon.
Thank you
very much. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Happy to be
Hoffman.
Kelly, do you want these extras?
I'm good.
Good to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
By the time we get through all these and have to have a regular meeting,
have a good evening. Thank you.
I'm going to remember how to run one.
I already asked Sunny. It's good. They're good. It's good. But they did climb it, right?
Yeah.
And he liked them. He said he didn't love Myron, the contractor they used.
Yes.
He was like, you know, whatever, but he liked having that separate, like he talked about.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he liked having where they would go to call Myron out on, like, issues, because there were some. Doug liked them, but Somerville said other where they have everything and they're not really like them. So, and he said that was like, when I was talking to Doug, he's like, Corey loved it. He's like, I don't know that I would have liked that. Like, I like one can call out the other.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we don't. God, they love to come down. Like, when I go to them, this big, like, I would pick.
Are we all spread out to make it look false?
Yeah.
Anybody need an extra?
The only ones that don't have them would be the ones out there. The board and myself have the proposal.
Can I take it right out here?
Come on. Come on.
So where's the best place for us to be standing up here?
Right there. Yeah. You're good.
We're good.
Perfect.
It's a little different, so.
Unless you want the hot seat up here.
Yeah, I mean, by all means, you can get up
well,
on the stage or even down here, wherever.
All right, are we ready to
go? Yeah, ready, okay. Ready to go. Floor is yours.
Right, well, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. So we'll try and keep this, is it about 10 minutes? Is that kind of what we're going for? Okay, so we'll try and keep this down to 10 minutes. Hopefully you can ask any questions that you have at the end here. So tonight we brought the leader of what would be your project team, or the leaders of what would be your project team. We're not salespeople. We're all people that will be those that you're going to see throughout this entire process. And this is kind of what we do. So myself, I'm Jody Andres. I'm an architect by training. But I'm actually our K-12 market leader. I've been doing K-12 schools in Wisconsin for about 30 years now. So it's a process that I'm quite familiar with and quite comfortable with, and hopefully we can take you through that. So, Kim.
My name is Kim Parvier, and currently I'm a school facilities consultant with Kaufman Planning Design and Construction. In my prior life, I spent 38 years as an educator. 27 of those years were spent in school leadership as an elementary principal, and in the last 20 years, or 23 years, as a superintendent. I have extensive knowledge and experience in the referendum process. I'd be happy to lend my support and mentorship in that particular area. And I also specialize in the community engagement piece of the pre-planning and referendum process. Thank you.
Todd Bushmaker, project architect with Hoffman. I've also been in the business for about 30 years. I specialize in K-12 education, so on the design side, I've been doing a lot of the upfront work, actually walking through your buildings, documenting, interviewing, all of that good stuff.
Matt.
Matt McGregor, senior project manager. Been with Hoffman for about 10 years, mainly working in the K-12 market, mainly on the construction side, so budgeting, scheduling, the phasing of whole referendum to come together.
So we obviously thought that you should see the people that are being working on your projects tonight, not a salesperson or somebody that you'll never see again. Just a little bit about Hoffman, in case you're not familiar. We're out of Appleton, but we're kind of a different firm from what you're, quite a few of them that you're interviewing tonight. In that, we have planning, design, and construction, obviously from the name, in-house. We've actually been doing that since 1978, so everyone talks these days about how important it is to have the designer and the constructor working together. We've known that for about 45 years, and that's what we've been doing. So that's actually, Matt's the construction side, and Todd is the design side. We work next to each other on a daily basis, and really we feel that that's really the best thing for school districts, because that coordination happens the minute that we start working on the planning project all the way through completion. You see the same team throughout this entire process, and you get hopefully comfortable with us, and this is a great project for you. So I'm going to talk just briefly. We kind of had to try and pare it down into what we thought was absolutely most important for you to hear tonight. So I know you've kind of been asking about, you know, how does this process help us make decisions? How can we kind of figure out what we want to do with our elementary school? We got some maintenance issues that are out there. Is it worth putting money into that building? Or should we be looking at some other options? So the process that we take school districts through is really pretty extensive, and I can't even begin to dive into it tonight. But hopefully you had a time to look through our proposal tonight, before tonight. I will tell you some of the things that we do to kind of get you into this process and kind of get you through this to the point where you can make an informed decision are going to be pretty similar to what others are. So in our proposal here, you'll see we're going to do a physical facility assessment, which, you know, is one of the things that you're obviously looking at. And in here is a quick detailed list of all the things that we're going to look at. So we're looking at inside out, top to bottom, including the site, just kind of how the physical condition is. So we're going to take things like the reports that you've had done by your roofing contractors or UNESCO and looked at your facilities. We're going to incorporate all those, but we're going to have our own team of people, including engineers, come out and take a look at the facility too, because we want to verify the information that you guys have already put together in the work that you've already done. On top of that, we want to hear from the people that are in your facilities on a daily basis. So we're going to come in and we're going to talk to all the staff, and we're going to talk to students if you want to go there.
and we're going to talk to administration, we're going to talk to board members, and we're going to try and find out kind of how these facilities are really working for you, for the people that are here every day. And so we're talking about things about how you're able to deliver education in classrooms, how gymnasiums are working, kind of more of the nuts and bolts of, you know, how these things respond to the things that you need them to. On top of that, we do like to reach out to your community and make them part of this process. This is all up front, so this is information gathering. So we want to have the community come in and tell us what their thoughts about the facility are and where they think these things should be going. That becomes a pretty key thing for us to understand as we go through this, because as board members, you have a pretty good handle on what your community has to say, but it's good to give them the opportunity to participate in this. And it actually does a couple of things. It gets that participation, but it also gives them the opportunity to start to understand, hey, there's something going on here. We want to be informed about what's happening at the school, and they're trying to make decisions about what the future of our buildings are. We want to be part of that. And that makes a difference when you actually try to do something where they already know what's going on. It helps you get support for that. It really starts to make sense from that standpoint. The next thing is as experts in educational facilities, we come in and we do an educational adequacy assessment. So we're looking at things like utilization and capacity. We're looking at programs in education and curriculum. We're looking at, you know, big things for school districts like Crimmins are there opportunities for you to start sharing resources and sharing programs with neighboring districts or local industry, local businesses? How does that incorporate into what we're doing? And we're also looking at kind of the basic things like enrollment and, like I said, capacity utilization. So the big thing with enrollment, especially for districts like yours, are probably kind of steady, maybe even declining, maybe growing a little bit, but that's not really the story anymore. We're not really talking about number of births in school districts and communities anymore. We're talking about that thing that's out there that's called open enrollment. You're in a competition for kids, for families, for staff, and it matters what's happening in your facility. So we want to take a look at enrollment, not only just in what's happening with birth rates and those kind of things, but also what are some of the other factors that go into that? What businesses are in the area? What's attracting people to your area? Are people making decisions based on schools? I'll tell you that the top three reasons people move into communities is a job, family, and schools. And if you don't have a great school, there's families that may move into your community, but they're open enrollment into some place like Peshtigo, which benefited from high open enrollment numbers. So that's really a differentiator that we're seeing kind of as we look at, you know, how do those kind of things affect that. So ultimately, what all of this information kind of that we gather and put together does is we're creating options for you. So I put an example up here of, we've sanitized the names and the faces up here, and you can't quite read it, but what this really does is it starts to provide you with all the information for different options on how you want to address things. So I'll just kind of do this one so you can start to see a better readable piece of it here. What this really does is it starts to provide you as a board and you as a community and a school district the information that you need to make good decisions. So we're not going to be the firm that's going to come in here and tell you, you know what, you need to do this, because this is the only option that works. From what I understand about you, you like to make those decisions for yourself, and we really are the firm that can help you. We want to give you the information that allows you to make informed and intelligent decisions for both your district and your community. So when we're looking at each building or each facility, we're looking at all the things that you see up there. We're looking at size and capacity. We're looking at projected capacity. How much are we going to do in new construction? How much are we going to remodel? You get into budget, everyone's worried about how much is this going to cost. Well, we look at site, we look at new construction, we look at maintenance. Part of the process here is to not only just identify what needs to be done to keep the buildings up, but how do we implement that? How much does it cost? How much can we afford? What are the immediate things? You know, the rain coming in at your elementary school and getting on the books, that's something that's obviously very urgent. But what it also allows you to do, what we've done quite frequently, is it starts to allow you to make intelligent decisions about how to invest that money now. So one of the questions you have is, hey, how much do we invest in that school before it's just really not worth it anymore, or would it be better for us to be invested in something else? As we go through these different options, and we can go through, my record is 28 options. We've gone through, that was in Kimberly and a long time ago. So hopefully we don't go through 28 options. But the point is we go through all these options so you can make an informed decision, but also when your community comes to you and says, well, that's great, but did you look at this? You can say, yeah, actually we did. And these are the reasons that we didn't think that that was the best idea for us. So providing that information in the last category up there is operations. So when you're looking at projects now, maintenance and those kind of upgrades, there's going to be utility savings. There's going to be maintenance savings. You know, stuff that doesn't have to come out of your annual budget every year, for your Fund 46, because you're addressing these things in a referendum or a different type of building project. That affects your long-term operational costs. And there's other savings. There's staff, there's community use. If you're doing like something like a pool, you're going to have revenue coming in with that. So there's different things that factor into this. But you see, up here, we're looking kind of at the entire picture. And obviously, cost is a big part of that. But it's also looking at the long-term costs. So what are the kind of savings over 10 years if we were to replace that school now? You know, that would be deferred. There'd be maintenance we wouldn't have to put in. There'd be utility cost savings. And just kind of throwing it out there, there's a lot of different things that we can look at on top of that that just I can't even scratch the surface. So and the last one up there, add solar energy production and storage. So every school district that we're working with right now is looking at things like, can we produce in our own energy? Can we get off the grid? Can we store and produce or produce and store our own electrical energy and have that savings? With the IRA incentives that are out there right now, the federal level, these systems are actually becoming very, very affordable or actually even cheaper in the long run than some of the traditional systems that are out there. So we're taking a look at those kind of new technologies. One thing that we're also talking about with just about every district is daycare and childcare. You know, are those some things that you want to implement into your facility? There's revenue to be had there. And again, it goes back to that bigger picture we were talking about where is there a way that that could bring staff or families or community members into the school district of Cribbets and keep them here? That's a huge thing. We're working with Shiocton right now. They have just shy of 100 kids in their childcare. There's staff members that are there specifically because they can have their childcare in the same building. There's community members that take advantage of that. That's a draw for them to that community. And you all know how difficult staffing is these days. How difficult it is to attract families to your school district. These are all things that we want to make sure that we're considering in this entire mix. And that's probably just a ton of stuff to try and cram into these few minutes here, but ultimately what I'm just really trying to say is we want to be very thorough in this process and we want to go through all those options and make sure that you're making the best decision for you.
Awesome.
That?
Yeah, perfect. Great. Awesome.
And you give these guys a chance to talk.
So based on whether we would go toward a referendum or whether we would go toward more of a remodel type of situation, is your model still keeping the project manager and the architect involved? And
absolutely.
Either way we go, that would, again, assuming that we would then bid out a project, whether we do more remodel.
So understanding kind of where you're coming from. You didn't want to make a commitment. I know, Kelly, you talked about kind of that cost thing. You know, we're actually at 9,000, so we're at the lower end of that. But we also believe that we're making an investment in your district. And there is no obligation beyond this study work. We'll take you up right up through referendum. And if you want to have us go out and compete with other architects or other contractors to do this work, we'll absolutely do that. We just did it in Shiocton, no problem. On that project because we worked with them and they respected what we did and we gave them a good deal too. So that's all part of the understanding here in terms of we're not going in with any kind of wrong ideas about, hey, we're going to try and steer you towards an elementary school because that's what's going to make us the most money. We're going to steer you towards you guys making the decision that's best for your district because it's your community long after we're gone and you have to answer to that community. Yeah, it's been here a long time, I'm sure. And that's, you need to do what's best for your community, not what's best for all. And we're here to help you do that and make sure that that happens.
Some of the options maybe to do nothing.
Yeah.
To be happy.
We do talk about that and what are the implications of doing nothing. And, what does that mean kind of down the road too. So when it comes to the construction, yeah, we want to do the construction management for you. Hoffman doesn't have any of our own labor force. We just actually manage the construction process. So everything that's out there, we competitively bid. So we even competitively, we even have participation from the large general contractor, Bolts, and some of the other ones. You know, they do work with us, and we can do that because we're not in competition with them. We're just managing that process. But that's a whole bunch of stuff that's even beyond what you guys are talking about right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get there someday.
Step one.
Thank you.
All right. Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is going to be way harder than I thought. So, she was starting. What? She was starting.
Kelly, did you send any of those extra?
I don't think so. I think we all have. Thank you, though. I appreciate it. She what?
She's going to wear, she's only wearing herself
once
every Thursday.
Oh, every Thursday, yeah.
So tomorrow's the big day to see how the second week goes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is performance, right?
Yep, PSI. Yep, yeah, performance. Mm-hmm. Yep, the binder.
Just you know, I'm usually pretty loud. I never figured out the insight.
If you could have seen how busy Mike was, so just how she did.
All right, floor is yours.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for allowing us to come in this evening and to respond to the RFP for your facility assessment. It is a pleasure that we were able to be here tonight. I was able to be here tonight. Just a quick recap of performance services for those who may not know us. We are a design build firm specializing in high performing buildings. We were established in 1998, so we are celebrating our 25th anniversary this year, which is wonderful. We are 13 states and have done a little over 675 projects. So the business is great, and it's really wonderful because our market is solely K-12. We don't do any other work. So we've really been able to focus and prioritize our skill set and our expertise on working in K-12. Our focus is 100% customer satisfaction. It is the goal of every single account, every project that we do, and our solutions are tailored for each district. We understand that every district has needs, but they are all individualized, and so we will work very, very hard to go through that with you and figure out the right solution. For the facility study, what sets us apart, I think all the firms that you have here this evening are phenomenal firms, and so I think that everyone is very capable and qualified of producing facility assessments. So part of what I wanted to focus on is just a little bit about PSI and what we do differently and how we work through the district and kind of what does set us apart. So it really comes down to it's the people, the process, and then what ultimately leads to the outcome. Our performance services team, as I mentioned, is design build. So as part of our approach, we have architects, engineers, estimators, project managers, controls team, and referendum specialists all at the same company. So when we are working on any project, when we're working on facility assessment, our architects and engineers, they are working hand in hand together to maximize that report, to make sure the communication is extremely well maintained with the district and our team. And they sit, you know, they sit right next to each other, so you don't have that lag of working with other firms. It's everybody's under one umbrella, which is really great. So K-12 schools are a specialty. As I said, this is the only market that we work in, and the reason that our founder wanted to do that was so that we really could maximize the expertise that we have. So we will work with our district and really kind of go through that investigation in that process phase, talk about what improvements you see and that are needed in the community and in the buildings, and then drive toward that expectation. Programming and conditions, it's also a very critical piece of a facility assessment. Facility assessments are not just about the physical buildings, they are about the people that use those spaces, that live in those spaces, how those are being used, and what programs are being offered. And so our team really sits down and talks to each stakeholder, puts in the time, puts in the effort to really understand how the building is functioning, where are those needs, and how can best achieve those results for the community. So the dynamic and critical aspects of facility assessment, although they are specific and individualized for the district, they are pretty standard. We're going to sit down with the district, we're going to review your situation. As I stated, we want to sit down and talk to the stakeholders, people living in the spaces, community members, students. Students we find are just one of the best vaults of information because they see a lot, they live in these spaces, but they also have the ability and the capability to go to other districts and see how other districts are performing or other programs that they are offering. And I think that that's really great to have, you know, the ears of the students and be able to listen to them and what their needs are. So after we interview stakeholders, talk to the students and the staff, community members, we will walk your buildings, typically with somebody that has the knowledge of those spaces, and make sure that we understand where those critical needs are. After the survey and the walking of the buildings, we will put together the report, the solutions and the benefits, all while communicating and making sure that we are moving through that process and capturing what the needs are, making sure that we accurately account for the things that we are seeing. Typically, that approach or that assessment piece will take about 8 to 12 weeks. Obviously, again, each district is different and unique, so whatever that timeline looks like or whatever need you have, that's what we're going to put up. A little bit more about the facility assessment report. A report is that comprehensive facility assessment detailing each of those conditions. Per your RFP, we understand what you're looking for. We feel extremely qualified to produce that. We give you what you are looking for. But again, we won't know what that is until we get through that investigation. We actually sit down with you. Our team does not believe in making, you know, any solutions or decisions without understanding what the community and the district really wants. That's a huge piece of this pie, making sure that we understand so that we can best fulfill and explain to the community what it is that you're seeing. So we will accommodate changing student enrollment trends. We have a team that will sit down and thoroughly look at your enrollment, what the trends and challenges have been, if you have decreased or increased in your case, which is wonderful. Identify and address the facility and safety, security, space utilization, work for improvements and technology needs. Modernize aging and insufficient facilities and equipment. Promote collaboration, provide facilities to support student achievement, and increase opportunities to implement small group international learning and instruction. If the district decides to move forward from the facility assessment and proceeds with a referendum campaign, that is something also that our firm works with districts on. It's kind of that full service that we have as our model. So from a facility assessment, we absolutely can help with referendum if that is the district's goal. If not, we understand that as a district, as a community, and as a board, you have to make some really difficult decisions. And it may not be in the time that you're thinking now. It may be a little bit of time. It's our commitment to you to build a relationship, grow that foundation, earn your trust and respect, and then hopefully continue on and build the relationship with you all. Just again, kind of highlighting on performance services, the K-12 experience. We have that single source of accountability. You only have to go to one person, which is me. So it's kind of nice if you need questions answered, things asked, you go to one person. Our team and the way that we believe in doing business is the team that we will sit down and introduce you to at the beginning of this process, that is your team that we need for the day. So we are not shifting people around on you. The team, the architect, the engineers, who are going to be providing a facility assessment, if it does move into a future project, that will be your team throughout that entire duration. I think that that's really key, because then you have that consistency, you have the knowledge, and you have the same people working with you, and they have stake in the game. That's a big part of why we do what we do and how we work with this. We take a very surgical approach to our facility studies, so we'll get into every single system, account for every piece of equipment, and really make sure that we are identifying what you are asking us to receive. The energy savings, payback, and cost avoidance, those are things that we also will include in our studies. I think it's extremely important to make sure that the community and the board understands maybe certain projects have a better return on investment or payback on energy, and that may move or have something to priority over another. So those are things that we will work with you to address and understand. Again, our mission is 100% client satisfaction. That is our goal. A few districts that we worked on close to by, Peshtigo, I think, is one of the most recent ones that we have worked on. This district was extremely personal. I came on, I've been with Performance Services about 4.5 years, and we started working with Peshtigo. This is one of the first accounts that I had started working with. And so it was really amazing to me to actually kind of from the ground up understand the challenges that this district had faced. In the years past, and trying to be supportive of our referendum, and really to peel back and kind of look at this from a new lens and a new understanding, kind of go in and surgically look at this facility and understand what would the community support. It was a lot of work, it was a lot of time, it was a lot of effort, and the solutions at the end of the day, you know, there were multiple. So it was part of our district to really kind of take those solutions, take that to the community, understand what they would support. It was unfortunate at the first attempt, we were unsuccessful by 13 votes, but after a few, I think there had 4 or 5 failed referendums prior to PSI coming in, you know, 13, it was heartbreaking, it was devastating, but the commitment that we had to Peshtigo was to go back to the books, just to kind of start from scratch, see where we could have maybe done better or changed things. They ended up with the solution actually was the right solution for the community. It was just how we approached the community engagement. And so after 3 years working with Peshtigo, it was really exciting to see the success that they did have. Such a resounding, you know, support with over 700 votes in the opposite direction. So I understand your community. I think that living that, understanding, you know, the differences, the uniquenesses about the different kind of community members, knowing how to reach out to you know, the farmers and some of the citizens that don't have children in the school district and the parents, there's all very, very different ways of communicating and giving that information to them. That's something that I really pride myself in. So just thought I would share a little bit about our last relationship with Peshtigo, and hopefully if you happen, you know, reached out to them, they would be a great reference and support for Performance Services and answering any additional questions that you may have. So I'll kind of end there and open it up if there's any questions that you may have for me or anything that I didn't cover. Happy to answer them.
So based on your people proposal,
yes, sir.
How do you guys bill or make money based on your services? Because
absolutely,
obviously you're bringing services in.
That's a great question. So the commitment from the founder, Tim Thoman is the president's name, was really to take a different approach and make sure we invest with the school. You are investing with us. And so in order for us to commit and be successful, we have to have some skin in the game. And we really felt, and the owner felt, that as part of our mission, as part of our service, we should not charge anyone for doing the job that we need in order to be successful. So the investigation, the preliminary work, the community engagement, all of that, you know, if we are not charging our customers for that work, it proves, I think, and it shows a different level of support that we are showing, because we really do want this to be successful. If you're not successful, then we don't make money.
So then how do you make money?
So typically, so for facility studies that lead into referendums, typically if we are engaging in a facility study, the hope is, it's not mandatory that we get the referendum, but the hope is, and typically, that we would carry into the referendum, and then we would be the ones to actually move through the construction of the projects.
And then is it percentage-based?
Correct. And then the percentage-based is architectural and engineering. We do not self-perform any labor, so it's really great that all of these subcontractors or any other local contractors that we would be bidding on for that project, we will ask the community, we will ask the school district who your preferred providers are, and then we will work with you. We have our list of preferred subcontractors. We try to get a minimum of 3 bids, but the fees that performance services applies to any project is our architectural, engineering, and then the property fee.
And then the change order, or the commitment to
yes,
the
sir.
Change order, without a contingency, I guess, kind of.
So we have a contingency that we've worked with the district, and we kind of set based on the project. It's not a fee-based contingency, so that's something that we sit down and we work through with the district. And then that contingency is based solely on the project, not a percentage-based. If we move through that contingency, let's say, and somebody, one of our architects or engineers, didn't measure a wall correctly to get a boiler into a space, that comes out of our pocket. That does not come onto the school district. So any changes, anything that we missed, will never come back to the school district. So when we come to you after everything is bid out and designed, and we say this project is going to cost you $1 million, you will never see another invoice from us for anything over that million.
So change orders and this contingency would be if we may change our mind on something.
Correct. If there was a change to scope, then that would be considered a change to scope, not a change order. So definitely if the school district says, hey, while you're in this space, we'd like to replace the lighting. Obviously that would be a change in scope. And so then yes, we would bid that out. But if there was something that we missed or something that we failed to do, that change order would not come back to the district ever. And we definitely, you know, recommend all of our schools, all of our potential customers, you know, call our districts and verify that that is just, that's how we do business. We don't believe in doing change orders, and we don't believe in charging before we actually earn your trust and get a job. It's our mission to work with you and to make sure that we fulfill the promise that we came in on.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you
for that question. All right. Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
It was nice
to meet you all. Thank you.
You as well.
Another meeting.
Well, maybe.
That's you.
Oh, well, okay, then I will.
You're good with that?
Mm-hmm.
I have a reputation to follow. Like, I can't get a reputation like Pat's, where I'm like, no, please quit talking, we're going.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't do it.
I'll save you from that.
That didn't get recorded.
Start a time clock?
Yeah, we got a big at the end.
countdown.
Yeah.
Good evening, Griffith Board. My name is Steve Schoner. I am the account executive for the eastern part of Wisconsin. I'm joined today by Russ Schumacher, one of the founders of Nexus and leads up our design team, and Becky Backus, who works for our marketing and our referral services group. All of you have received our proposal. I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to hit on a couple of highlights here. You know, we've got 70 team members based on the three offices. We're 100% focused on K-12. We don't do anything else. We work with over 50 districts in the state of Wisconsin. We've got 100% success in passing referenda when we are brought in at the beginning through the end. And because of our process and how we go to market, we have less than 1% change orders on our projects. This isn't about us. This is really about you and your needs. Easy for us to stand up here and toot our horns about how good we are. But this is about you and your needs and the issues that you face daily. Russ and I were fortunate enough to come up a couple of weeks ago. We spent a couple hours with Mr. White. We walked through the buildings to see firsthand, because that helps us when we put a presentation together. So we took the time. And what I'm going to do from here is I'm going to turn it over to Russ so he can give you a high level of what we saw and the challenges that you're facing on a daily and weekly basis. Oh, and one other thing, too, before I turn it over to Russ. You're all familiar with CISA. CISA 2 is a purchasing aid, arm for the state of Wisconsin for all the CISAs. You're part of CISA 8. But CISA went through a two-year evaluation of all the different companies that play in this market space. And at the end of the 2 years, in 2022, we were selected as the vendor of choice for CISA for facility study and planning. So that helps to give you some peace of mind that we've been thoroughly vetted as a company. With that, I will turn it over to Russ.
Thank you, Steve. As Steve mentioned, we were up here on the 6th, kind of walking through the buildings, because the first key is try to get an understanding of what the challenges you're facing with your facilities directionally as you move forward, especially, you know, with the elementary school, which is going to be, you know, 100 years old in a couple of years. You have such a great graphic of the history of your district that, fortunately, we were put in that room, we were able to study it. It's a fantastic lineage of what's happened. And, you know, the time has come for you to kind of figure, do you need to invest in that building? Do you need to replace it? If you do need to replace it, where does it go? Can it be added on? Can portions be reused? I mean, none of those answers are really apparent right now without digging in deeper. But just from an initial walkthrough, obviously, you've got a couple portions of the roof that are leaking. The building envelope, you know, is in need of some repair. Building access, the asphalt concrete's need of repair, as well as separating, actually creating some parking, but also separating the bus drop-off from the student park-off and the car drop-off, and basically analyzing the building from the lot lines in, from the grass tops to the rooftops, each room, each space, on how it's able to be modified to fit into your kind of the way you want to deliver education. The infrastructure on the inside, you've replaced a couple, you know, some of your unit ventilators the last couple of years to kind of put a band-aid on things to kind of limp by until you get a long-term solution. Replacing the boilers in the high school, obviously, but the control systems are antiquated. It's interesting when we went in and we asked the principal, what are your five biggest challenges? And the first one was plumbing. I don't think we've ever heard of infrastructure be the top item, but it was fantastic to hear that, because I'm a mechanical engineer by trade, designing mechanical systems, so it's nice to have the front seat once in a while. But electrical as well, you know, there's some parts in there that have to be ordered by eBay, a constant challenge, and you know, it's time to kind of decide what's the long-term solution there. Middle high school. Incidentally, as we were walking through, Tom pointed it out, it's a carbon copy of Broadhead. We're working with Broadhead currently, had a facilities meeting with them last week. They're going to go out for a referendum in April of next year, and they're they use their building, which he uses as a middle high school, just as a high school, and their challenge is what to do with the middle school. This one here, you've taken great care of it. It shows well. It's kind of stood the test of time here for 20 years. You just got to continue to invest in it. Windows, which have been a problem putting the town almost since the beginning. Building envelope, the EFAS, that material, you know, tends to need some TLC as time goes on, discoloration, and it can chip up, as well as some of the
the leakage that occurs, basically the wall, the wall roof intersection. Is there something can be done to, so you don't have to constantly fight water intrusion there? Not uncommon to have that water intrusion at wall to roof intersections, but what can we do to fix that long term? Your track, your asphalt track, needs to be looked at and provide some options on what you want to do to refurbish that so it can be used for 20 years to come. And obviously take some soil borings to see what the subsurface is like, to see if there's any attention needed there. Some wayfinding maybe for your secure entrance which you've created, maybe as simple as maybe just an overhang indicating where it is, and just some things to help aid and make things more simple. Mechanical systems are replacing the boilers, replacing some of your pneumatic stuff, and just continue to invest in that facility and carry on. But beyond just the infrastructure and what's behind the walls and above the ceilings, educational adequacy we call, the ability for your buildings and facilities to deliver education, not only now but in the future. Do you need flexible spaces? Do you need large group instruction? Do you want to create some project areas? Do you want to focus more on CTE and expanding some of those spaces? Going through both buildings, not only the elementary but the middle high school, and analyzing space by space how they currently are set up to deliver education. Your classrooms in the elementary school are undersized compared to national standards. You have two libraries, one on the third floor, obviously, which is sparsely occupied, and how those might combine and combine into one. LMC, your casework is tired, obviously. It's done its duty for decades and needs to be replaced. And then also, an in-depth analysis with the admin team, with your principals, how are you planning to deliver education in those spaces? And that's really the crux of the deliverable amongst your spaces. ADA accessibility obviously has to be maintained. You have pretty narrow hallways as well as stairways that need to be modified to make it ADA accessible. And all of that, just from a couple hour walkthrough, if we're successful enough to be your partner in working with you through this process and project, would be going into a facility assessment report, much like we did down in the Conto Falls, 30 miles south, where they had the same conundrum with their middle school. Do you replace part of it? Do you rebuild it? They ended up moving it or buying some property by the high school and a brand new middle school right in the middle of design right now. Site package gets issued in about a month, and then the rest of it gets issued in about 3 months for bidding, and it'll be a brand new middle school. Well, in going through that process, for four schools they have, and it was about over 300-page document, not to overwhelm you with information, but basically gather the data, turn that data into information, get that information to your facilities committee and the people that are going to be involved heavily in driving the process, so that you can make data-driven decisions. You can decide, hey, this is how much it would take to invest in the elementary, this is how much it would take to just use half of it, this is how much it would take to build it on another site. Do you want to put that on the same campus by the high school here? You know, working you through all of those different options so that you can make a very informed decision that's based on data and not emotion, although emotion does play into it. But that's really the key part. And as you're working through that, we'll provide budgets all the way along the way. That'll be modified based on your input. Again, it's your project, not ours. Treat it like it's our own, but it is yours. We're good listeners. And we're good adapters, and we roll with you on where you want to take it based on different options. Once we work with the board and get a project assembled with a budget, probably bigger than you might have capital for, but involve a referendum. We have really good success with referendums and a process that works really, really well that Becky's going to walk us through here.
Okay, hi, I'm Becky. I'm fortunate to be able to work solely on referendums for Nexus. So something that I've been working on for the last 10 to 15 years of my career. And just in the last 5 years at Nexus, we've passed 25 bond and operational referendums here in Wisconsin. And so we've been really fortunate that we have a team at Nexus that provides you the full services, which many of the groups you've heard from tonight do as well. And so a couple things that do a little bit differently, or that we would at least recommend for you, no matter what you do, is that you really look at your demographics of your district and decide what is important, what are the best ways to reach your community. Is it newspaper? Is it social media? Is it tours in your school? And one of the things that we found is video. So we've worked with a videographer who specializes in K-12 work, and he comes in and does a really fabulous job showing the community that doesn't get a chance to come here and look under the hood and see all the different things that are needing work, and captures that on video so that you're able to share that on social media and videos on your website and things like that. And so one of the things that we've created as a result of our districts not having the time to store everything on their website, create website pages specifically for a referendum, should you choose to go to a referendum, is we've created a microsite website template that basically links to our school district's pages, and it's already created so that your staff doesn't have to reinvent the wheel. And these are kind of vetted through and customized for your district, but it walks through the plan, the needs, voter information, the tax impact, if you can be asked questions, and we don't put any content up there that hasn't been pre-approved by the district, but it's just really nice and slick because you can turn it on when you need to, and it links to your homepage, and then turn it off when you pass the referendum phase. So.
Okay, a couple things to focus on here. It's really important in the process that we use that we're single source accountability. We competitively bid 100% of the trade work. We do not self-perform any of the trade work. So there's no place for us to physically, I know Mr. Huck, you work for a program, you're a construction company, and there's no way for us to hide in our process any profits or move monies around, because everything is 100% competitively bid.
Another thing that I jumped in there, sure. We're also architect agnostic. You know, during the process, we will go through and do the front-end architecture ourselves with the planning, and then we will pull in the architects that we've worked with, most of them that are being interviewed tonight, within our projects. We'll pull in the architect that best fits the client and the client needs. So we are agnostic from a consultant perspective. We can pull in what you might want to work with, along with competitively doing all the work, as Stephen said.
You're also getting ready to embark on a long-term relationship with somebody. This is going to be start to finish, probably 5 to 7 year process. So you need to feel comfortable with who you're going to be dealing with. To be honest with you, any one of the 7 that you are interviewing tonight can put a plan together. It's the level of detail from the 335 pages we did for O'Connell Falls to, I've seen them as short as 40 or 50 pages. But the one thing you really need to take a focus on, and if you're interested in the back of ours, is when you get your report back, you're gonna find a report that, or dollars and cents, that'll break out the exact items that we've identified. It'll prioritize in 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15 years when those items we anticipate are going to end or need to be replaced. So you can then prioritize and figure out what fits into your financial model to be able to afford, prioritize what needs to be done. So that's something I would really highly recommend that you look at in doing this, because you can't make a data-driven decision if you don't have the data to look at, okay? I mentioned earlier, it's easy for us to stand up here, beat our chest, and tell you how good we are. We thought we'd let our clients, 70% of our business are either client referrals or secondary phases. So we thought we'd let our clients speak about what they think of our process. And
I think the foundation of any relationship is trust. We reached out to prior partners with Nexus. And I think superintendents trust superintendents, and school boards trust school boards. And so when you reach out and the word is, you're not going to regret this, this is a great team, that really begins that trust. But then I think with open communication along the way, things can actually be better in the end than you ever imagined.
I really think from day one, I had a really good feel for the people that we were working with on a daily basis, and just kind of a kind of a comfort level. They were trying to represent our best interests.
Nexus had a great process in the sense that we brought the community in as part of the study. So it wasn't just like looking at the wiring and the ducts and the things like that. We held some community forums before we even said what we're going to do.
Nexus really listened to what our vision was for what we wanted our classrooms and our spaces to look like. They understood that instruction was going to drive the decisions that we made and really provided us the autonomy and the flexibility to engage in that conversation.
The method that Nexus uses is really consistent with how we like to do work. It's not just a bunch of engineers managing projects in the field, but they're actually construction professionals, and to us that's a big positive.
In a typical architect, general contractor setup, I would just come in and I would just build a building and try to make as much money for myself as I could. In the Nexus approach, I'm part of the integrated full team where I'm watching the budget for the owner, I'm advising the owner about construction materials and methods to make sure the owner receives their best value from all parties of the team.
The last time we passed a referendum was 12 years ago. That's a long time. Since then, we've failed to.
School funding is complicated enough on its own, and then I think wrapping in mill rates, how much are my taxes going to increase, what specifically are you going to use those dollars for, those are all very valid questions. Nexus really helped us hone our message down to a very clear and concise point, and then transparently communicate that.
To match the learning goals and the picture of what's available, that's in automotive, that's in.
Working with Nexus' marketing department to create our story, we hung our hat on that and we moved forward, and quite frankly, we blew it out of the water by well over 60%.
So with that, happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you for your time.
Did you notice the one building that was in that video?
Did not.
That was a project your former company helped to build with us in DCFS, Everly Elementary School.
A little farther south in my range. and I'm retired now. But from a reimbursable standpoint, do you say there's no reimbursable for this first portion of this? That's
yes, correct. We will be the price that we're charging for this is minuscule to what we'll have involved in this. Our payback is on the back end when we're able to take the project all the way through and do the implementation. That's where we're going.
Whether that be new facility or remodeling or whatever.
That's correct.
Wherever the data takes us.
And Mr. York, what you're asking is exactly what Russ mentioned before at O'Connell Falls. You know, they had a 100-year-old building. Do we continue to invest? So we gave them the cost of what it would take to get that up to standards. And at the end of the day, you still have a 100-year-old building in certain spots, right? And then we had the cost of building new. And it was pretty obvious to them when the cost of rebuilding was 65 to 70% of the cost of new. Just doesn't make any sense to pour that in. And that's sort of where you're at with your elementary school. You've got to make that decision.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Are you glazed over again?
Yeah, getting there. You too.
We just have to wait for our superintendent to come back from the bathroom.
No problem.
So much better.
Darling is so
bad. Is what?
So bad.
At updating you?
Yes. For Greek's sake.
Well, you'll be happy to know my son's at AU Team 1.
Oh, good. Yes, sir.
Yep.
Unless you want the stage.
No, no, no.
Then I'll be at
your back.
Yeah, go
ahead. You're good. They were just talking about D-ball.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't want to interrupt you. Hi, good evening. My name is Robert Kaler with the Grove Design Group. I'm the education market leader at Grove. I'm an architect by trade. So I'm representing a complete project team for you tonight, responding to your request for proposal. That includes Grove Design Group, who has planners, architects, and interior design in-house. TLC Engineering is working with us, who would provide review information related to mechanical, electrical, plumbing, all the engineering aspects of the services, and then Myron Construction. We bring them on board because we want to make sure we're providing you accurate estimating of any scope or items identified, and they also can provide valuable insights as it relates to phasing, constructability, things like that in the process. So I'd like to spend some time tonight just talking about what a process typically looks like and then really dive into what you asked for in the RFP and what that would look like if we were hired to work with you. So we really see this as a three-step process. Your RFP kind of addresses that first step, the facility assessment, the master planning, and then with that concept, if the board decides to move forward, then there becomes a communication aspect. Communicating further with the community to build that buy-in. And whether it's a referendum or using another fund balance, we're typically seeing there's a need to obviously address the costs of whatever work is chosen to be pursued. And then ultimately we move into design and construction. So step one, that facility assessment, the master planning that we're talking about, and I'm gonna go further in detail in a little bit on this. We typically see about 6 to 9 months that this process takes, and it's really about level setting. Understanding your existing conditions, identifying your goals, your deficiencies, and bringing in stakeholders, making sure we're understanding viewpoints, priorities, all of those things as part of the process to make sure we're moving forward and presenting an option, and we're going to develop multiple options during this process that the community and the district are comfortable moving forward with. Step two, that communication phase. As you know, if you were to choose to pursue a referendum to address funding requirements, you need to submit that at least 70 days ahead of any the election date. So we typically see this 2.5 to 3 months of time of really informing and educating people of what is being proposed, what we found as part of that facility assessment, the options that were explored, and why you're pursuing what you're pursuing. You need to demonstrate that need, make sure you've worked through your priorities, answer questions, and make sure there's factual information out there and available, and people can understand what is being discussed. A strong vision for the future of your school district. And then ultimately, that would lead into the true design process. So typically, about 6 to 9 months
to actually design the scopes of work, depending, obviously it can range widely depending on what is being discussed. And that is especially true with construction as you consider phasing, how it works with your school year or summer work, things like that. But we want to communicate that that's a collaborative process. We're working with you every step of the way. We're presenting renderings and diagrams and communicating in 3D in ways that you can understand what is being proposed. I know you're not an architect. I don't expect you to be able to read my technical documents the same level, and I want to make sure you're understanding what is being discussed every step of the way. So back to the RFP. So this step one. The facility assessment is really going to start with a kickoff meeting. We're going to bring in the administration, maybe some school board members, some leadership, to discuss what are the goals and objectives. And you've laid some of that out already in your RFP, but we want to dive in. What are your priorities and needs? Where are your issues and challenges? Because we want to understand your perspective before we even jump in, because that can help us ask the right questions. We also want to gather from you existing documents, any other reports, assessments that might have been previously done, because that's going to help us get more information that might be available for us just to observe visually. We also want to get a copy of your schedule and understand how your rooms are being utilized currently, because that helps us calculate your capacity, understand your utilization, and ultimately, how well does your space support education, because that's what we're talking about. How well your rooms support educational delivery. After that kickoff meeting, architects, the engineers, we come to the site and we do visual observations of everything. Anything that we can visually observe, we are going to and we're going to document it. So we're going to look at your site. How does the circulation work? Is there a good separation between bus traffic and parent traffic and student traffic and pedestrian routes? What are the conditions of the paved surfaces? How well do the playgrounds support different age levels? What is the building construction and what is the condition of it? How does the building address accessibility requirements? Or if we were to consider any remodels or additions, what are some code impacts that could be required to be addressed as part of the work? How well does your exterior envelope perform? What is the thermal value? How well is it keeping water up? What is its condition? Same thing with interior finishes, safety and security. Are we able to compartmentalize the school? Does it support after school use without granting someone access to the whole facility? How is the entry sequence done? All these things go in, and obviously we're gonna look at your mechanical, electrical, and plumbing needs in this process as well. But it's not just what we can observe, because we want to engage with the people that use the facility every day. We want to engage with administration and teachers where we know there might be issues, and those might require some direct interviews, asking pointed questions to understand what's the vision, their vision for delivering their subject, what are the challenges they're facing, and how we can move forward. But we also want to make sure we're engaging with everyone. And we support that through a digital survey that we would encourage be distributed to the entire staff of the district. And we collate all those results and provide summary data that can be used as we move forward in the master plan. Again, we're not just focusing on what is the built condition and what is its, is it in good repair, but how well does it support education? Are the appropriate number of people using a space? Is it the space the right type of space for the use it's being used for? So we're going to ask questions. What works well about your physical environment? How do you and your students use your space? What equipment, storage, and other space needs might you have? What are the challenges you're facing? We're going to ask some really pointed questions, and we're going to bring that information to the table because, again, we can't just rely on the design professionals, visual observations. Ultimately, we're going to collate that into a complete report. So that report is going to include everything we just discussed. And this is going to be really the level-setting roadmap as we can move into the master planning effort. But it's also going to provide you a tool that you can use for your maintenance planning for 5, 10, 20 years down the road to understand what is the life expectancy of different key equipment pieces throughout your facility. And everything that we identify in the report is going to have a cost estimate related to it as well. So we're providing you that cost information and evaluation. Moving forward. And then we move into master planning. Master planning is, so we've level set, we've identified, we've gathered all the factual information. Now we need to talk about how do we address the problems we've identified. We can't just move straight into master planning because we haven't identified all those things. But now we have, we're moving in and we're generating concepts. It's going to be multiple concepts at different scales of work. We're going to present budgets for each of those. We're going to work through exercises to prioritize needs. And that prioritization and review of options, we've encouraged that we have regular meetings with a community group that's being brought in and engaging and bringing in different viewpoints into that process. And ultimately, we want to make sure we're communicating with you in a way that is clearly understood. So on the screen, you can see an example of a rendering we've produced. We have a great rendering team. We also obviously provide floor plan diagrams, site diagrams, other things that support the understanding. Ultimately, if you can't understand, everyone in the process can't understand, we're in trouble. So we want to make sure that understanding happens throughout. So why growth? Growth has some outstanding educational expertise. We understand educational pedagogy, different ways of delivering education, and how that's really changing and how we need to design our space to be flexible for the future. We're a mid-sized firm, meaning that we have enough people that we bring a lot of expertise to the table, but we also are able to really focus on the projects that we choose to engage with. So you're going to have a consistent project team that's really going to focus on your needs. We believe in the process. We've had a lot of success with the process, and we will work with you to move through that process and ensure that we're building consensus of all people involved as we go through there. And ultimately, we understand that the 21st century education is changing. What the needs are, as we understand them now, are different than they were 20 years ago, and they continue to evolve, and we're going to help make sure that we provide the best funding for the future that we can. So I'd like to thank you for your time, and just the last thing I would say is our ethos is listen, lead, serve, and I really truly love that ethos and believe in it. So our process is first to listen, to understand. We want to make sure that we're listening to your perspective, your needs, your goals. This isn't my project, my school. This is important to you, and we need to hear you. And then we need to lead, and that's leading to build consensus. So we're going to bring the groups together. We're going to provide the information. We're going to guide dialogue to build that consensus. And ultimately, we're here to serve clients like you to serve their community. So we serve those who serve. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So based on your fee proposal, is the $39,000 inclusive of the engineering?
Then? Yes, that is the total sum of ourselves,
that's just
engineers.
That's just the breakdown of what's inside.
I just provided the two sub numbers to show you what TLC's portion of that was and Myman's portion. But that top number is our portion plus the engineers and Myman.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Anything else? Thank you for your time.
Awesome. Thank you.
So much faster.
A hit in air, he walked one. It's, they're down 0-2 in one, and then he got through clean into bottom of two. There are two guys on, one out, Lady Paints in the stands, and now the game is paused until the rescue squad gets there.
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make this stuff up.
He's not a good hitter. He hits the ball well, but he is a lefty and he pulls it to first base.
Nick.
So the kids have that grill, right?
Nice catch.
They do that.
Surprise myself.
They're not going to make that like, you know, well, he's hitting it right to the first baseman. Last game, one time, he hit one up, just a blooper, just over the first baseman's head. So it, like, then he got on base. But he always just, so for him to get the double, that's a huge, he must, he did well. And then he said that Cam got it in the park home run, so he can hit hard. He's a...
He gets
to be one. I'm sure he does constantly. And so he's his big brother. Colton is a really, really good baseball player. Like, he plays triple and is phenomenal. Yeah. If he continues to develop that well, he will be good. He's also a little more mentally mature. Yeah, so he.
Thank you. We're still very attentive.
Very
Thank
good.
You. Yeah, we're awake.
Awesome.
I am. Thank you. I guess I shouldn't speak for anyone else, but I'm good. Yeah. She goes, kind of was, you know, kind of get some space. And I was like, no, let's go. Come on. I'm like, that's so funny. Because I can't, like, we're playing.
I was trying to
say, oh,
I can't.
We just had, yeah, I was going to say we have one board member using the bathroom. Say the communication.
Yep. Me too. Collaboration. Yeah. Collaboration.
Honesty.
That.
Thank you. That's all really good, and I think that's actually the most important thing. So I'm glad you guys said that. So I spent almost 17 years, I think, to age myself. 17 years in the construction industry, so everybody that you met today, I've worked with most of them. You have really good options, so kudos to you. You have a lot of great teams to choose from. We're going to try to explain a little bit of what makes us different tonight. So you probably saw in the proposal that we submitted as well as in our presentation, so we have a creative agency in-house, so that's one thing that makes us different. So we've taken some liberties, had some fun, and created a new logo. It's just an example, not saying you would necessarily change your logo, but it's something that we like to do and things that we think of throughout the entire design process. We think of the end game and how things look. So we wanted to share that. It was a lot of fun. We're very invested in school projects and we love to help out in every facet of communication. So. My name is Tricia Mollenbach. I am the Education Market Manager, so my sole dedication is with schools. Supporting schools through facility planning and then also through communications. So I have a strong marketing background. We're your team. Like, we're not salespeople, so I apologize that we're probably not as good at presenting, but we will be your team from start to finish. One thing about me is my background, developed my love for school facilities. When I was in high school, I started cleaning the schools in my summers. So in the board meeting when they were talking about the shiny floors and being able to see yourself in them, like, that's the stuff I get really excited about. Because I know what goes into that. It is really, really important. It's so much work. Your facilities, when we got to tour the facilities with Tom, first of all, thank you for your time. That was awesome. Your facilities are very well kept. I know because I've had to do them. I've been in construction and design for a long time. So kudos to you. You're taking great care of what you have. And I think that's the first step in asking community members to support future plans and growth. So kudos.
I'm David Van Lop, architect. I primarily work in schools. My wife is a speech therapist in school. And my we have four kids, so we surrounded in this atmosphere. And who else you see on the screen are the people that will be working on this project. We don't have multiple teams working on, tens of schools at a time. We focus on a school district that we feel is our best fit. And we really passion ourselves with smaller districts. We feel we bring the biggest value there. We are budget-oriented. We understand that those types of things. So we've got the other part that differentiates us is we have all engineers in-house. We don't have consultants that we have to call and try to get on their schedule. We have it all in-house. So we've got structural, HVAC, electrical, plumbing, interior design, security systems, as well as the brand marketing that we talked about. So when we do a facility study, our team is the one that comes through your buildings and analyzes it. We get in the room and we are able to work together. We have one location, we all work in the office, and we're able to do a thorough facility assessment. Our collaboration design process is seamless from the very start. We engage our engineers all the way through to the very end. So you're not missing that step early on. We're doing that from the start. The other part that's, again, a bit different about this is that those efficiencies of having all engineers in-house, we're able to save you guys time and money. Throughout the industry, contractors have told us that our plans are more complete than others, and we're able to, again, saves on changes, saves on questions, allows you to spend your contingency down the line. So having in-house engineering is really, really important.
So something else that makes us a little bit unique, I know other firms offer this, but our engagement communications, I believe, is second to none. So this is 100% what I do. So I know schools inside and out. I'm also a small town gal, so I know small towns inside and out. And so I take a lot of pride in getting to know your community members, getting to know your board really well. We put students bigger because I think it's really important that we never forget that students are why we do this. They should be at the core of all the decisions we make, and that has to carry through the entire process. Staff, we want to make sure your staff are communicated with early and often, and they feel like they're a part of the process, because they should be. They're really important, and we want to make sure they're engaged at all. Families, we want families to choose Privets. Schools, school districts have to compete for students these days, which is crazy, and it's a phenomenon that didn't exist before. So we want families to choose Privets, and so we make sure to include the families in the planning process as well, parents. And then community. So community engagement, we are very strategic in making sure that we have community input sessions from the very onset. So we'll do a facility study. We'll bring the community in, and we'll tell them what the state of your facilities are. We'll walk them through that so that they can understand it, speak their language, and then we'll keep engaging them through the entire process. So we're not waiting until we're trying to pass a referendum if that's the decision that the board decides to do. We're not waiting until then to ask for their support. We're building their trust from the very beginning and making sure that they understand and agree with the process. And then the board. Oftentimes, people go through this process and they forget that the board forget to include the board. They're just driving through and then checking in with the board when it's too late and decisions are already made and we've wasted all this time. So we're very intentional about making sure that the board is engaged throughout the entire process as well. So long-range planning. We're aligning your current reality with your strategic direction and the future state. We really, really believe that we can help you do this. Our goal is to make it as easy on you as possible. You have a school to operate and run. This is what we do. So we would love the opportunity to help you through it. And with that, do you have any questions for us?
So I see you guys are so fond of that from a reimbursement standpoint. Would you be and your team coming up here from a mileage standpoint, would that all be considered a reimbursement?
Our reimbursables typically include mileage. What we do for districts, if you prefer, is we would provide an estimate from reimbursables and give you a lump sum and we would cap it at that so that you're not thinking about, well, we should have a meeting, but we don't want to pay for them to come. We don't ever want that to be a deterrent to meet if we need to meet. The reimbursables for mileage ends up so low, but our contract, one thing you should know about us is our contract is very simple and very straightforward. We don't believe in the AIA contract that most firms will give you because that does, that you will get nailed with reimbursables in that contract. So ours is very straightforward. We will agree to all of that up front. And we will have a lump sum if you want.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Good luck.
We don't
Thank
grow.
You. Luckily, it's the longest day of the year, and you have sunlight to drive home in. You know?
It was just it getting to
the longest day of the year, though.
It is the longest day
of
the year.
It's going to be light up for a little bit longer.
Nick. Once they disconnect, will you shut off that projector so that it's not blinding me? Thank you. No, no, I can. It just, you know,
I keep having
just
to
divert
adjust
a
my
little
contacts.
Bit. Close one eye.
I keep having to adjust my contacts because
do you?
Yeah,
because of that, yeah.
Woo! Wake up!
You gotta done that slow.
Slow like
a
cool.
Work for
Shopko.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Yeah,
maybe a little distant.
Did you sing for Shopko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I obviously not.
Yeah, it was
in the bathroom quick and then we'll
She's
going to
see somebody.
You know anyone?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
She wants us to come to her classes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Drive safe.